in In Re Interest of Nathaniel M. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Ryan Hoffman on behalf of the National Mother, who is also present today, along with the maternal grandmother of the children. Since assignment of errors seemed to be a theme today, I thought I'd start off here, and I want to beg the obvious here, but this is a termination case. I know I cited in my assignment of errors that this the statutory basis, or the trial court or Judge Kelly heard, by finding that my client came within the meaning of the statutory basis, but it's obvious, and I believe I conceded it in my brief, that 43-292-7 applies here. There's no doubt that the kids came into care of the department sometime around November of 2011, and then the state brought the action. We had trial at the end of March, so roughly the kids were in the care of the department for about 16 months. So, kind of turns to the crux of the argument here is, and it's paramount in all these cases, is the best interest of these three minor children. And I suppose more specifically what I want to address is the evidentiary burden that the state holds when terminating a parent's parental rights. It's not something that should just be done, for lack of better words, willy-nilly. It requires an affirmative finding on behalf of the state that my client is somehow unfit. Okay? It's not my client's burden to get up and take the stand and prove that she is a fit mother. So that leads me right into what I'm alleging the state heard or did wrong in this case, or the lack of evidence, is we have two witnesses called. Okay? There was first witness called was Dr. Stankus. Dr. Stankus is well known in the Omaha Juvenile Court, performed a parenting assessment and a psychological evaluation. So we've got to understand about this is the reason Dr. Stankus is called in to testify is because he's going to testify as to that fitness issue that I'm talking about. Well, Dr. Stankus met with my client in February 2012. In the brief and in the subsequent argument, by the time we got to trial in March of 2013, Dr. Stankus was unable to opine as to any reasonable degree of certainty that my client was unable to parent at that time, March of 2013. He was able to say, well, when I met with her in February of 2012, at that time, she needed to do this, this, and this before she'd be able to regain custody of her kids. But when it came to trial, he couldn't opine with any certainty that she was not in a position to regain custody of her kids.
Does the record show, though, that between the time of that evaluation and the termination hearing that the mother had done the things that Dr. Stankus had recommended?
It does, Your Honor. There was, it was admitted by the second witness in this case, or acknowledged, not admitted, acknowledged that she had gone through, she'd actually done another parenting assessment and psychological evaluation through Dr. Linder, who was not called to testify either. She had worked with a parenting specialist, she was doing outpatient treatment, she was doing family and individual therapy. I suppose to narrow it down, she was doing everything but for the Williams Prepared Place or the dual diagnosis treatment. She was doing it on her own. Now the dispositional orders that you'll see in the record always note that she's to re-enroll in the Williams Prepared Place, which is dual diagnosis treatment to treat the mental health and her substance abuse evaluation issues. And my client admitted that pretty strong of her, but she admitted that when she took the stand at trial. But if you'll look at the dispositional orders, then you'll look at the only court report that's in evidence, you'll see nothing of the recommendations as far as the dual diagnosis. It'll say, continue with the outpatient that you're doing, continue to work with the parenting specialist, continue to do your visits, which my client did. There was no safety concerns noted. But what it gets back to is, if we can If Dr. Stankus is not able to tell us that she's not fit at that point in time or unable to regain custody of her kids, because he had no collateral information up to that point to be able to testify as to a reasonable degree of certainty, the next witness the state called was the worker. Okay? And I believe this was Ms. Shaw's first time testifying in a termination of parental rights case. And the worker in this case had just come on this case, it was in November of 2012. And as I stated earlier, the children had come into the custody of the department about a year prior. Okay, so we have here the caseworker that essentially testifies from bits and pieces of various reports, that only the most recent case reported plan is in evidence, which oddly enough still is recommending the case report authored by this witness for the state is oddly enough still opining or recommending reunification by May 1st of 2013. Although at trial she testifies that it's in the best interest of these children that my client's rights be terminated because, and I don't know that there's a whole lot other explanation in there, but the because was because these kids have been in foster care for over a year. Well, to me that raises the question, well, we already have a statute in place to show that. Let's work on the second prong or this best interest standard. There needs to be credible or not credible, there needs to be witnesses, okay, that know these kids' needs, that can testify as to the relationship between mom and her children. All we had here was this was more focused on the parent as to the best interest of the children. There was a foster parent that wasn't called. I suppose the case is similar to Aaron D. in some respects in terms of, I'm going to get into the, just go right down the line, the foster parent wasn't called here. My client's medical providers weren't called here. And that's probably some of the reason that one of the subsections was dismissed at the trial level by Judge Kelly. There was no education provider called here. My client was doing individual and family therapy. The therapist wasn't called to testify as to the best interest of the children or whether she appropriately interacted with these children during visits or anything of the like. And again, the focus was on the parent, but even with the focus being on the parent, there's ample evidence in the record to show that my client, there was a negative UA that was in the record, and that was in July of 2012 when she was discharged from the Williams Prepared Place. After that, a positive UA, and then there were many negative UAs after the fact. She was working with a parenting specialist. She was consistent in all her visitation, individual and family therapy. The mother even took the stand to testify as to the bond or the beneficial relationship she had with her children. So when we're looking at the best interest, her efforts towards this reunification should be given great weight as long as the bond she had with her children. So just to summarize and go back is, the state didn't have enough evidence here, or clear and convincing evidence, to prove my client's fitness. Now, had there been the children's therapist called and could have testified as the best interest of the children, but the only evidence that we had with respect to the best interest of these children was a caseworker who was recently assigned to the case and, for all intents and purposes, reviewed a case file before she came in and said, well, these kids have been in foster home for over a year, so I think the mother's unfit. And that's not the standard that you require or the Nebraska Supreme Court requires. And we need to ensure that the state is doing their job, because the termination of parental rights is something that should be held to a very high standard when that relationship is severed. And with that, I would submit. Do you have any questions?
Thank you.
You got me through it with no questions.
Thank you.
afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Shaquille Malik. I'm a Deputy County Attorney with the Douglas County Attorney's Office. And I guess for purposes of the record, I'll be representing the state as it relates to a prosecuting authority, not the Department of Health and Human Services, which is obviously also a party on the case. Your Honors, I guess I'll first touch on a few points that the appellant made in his oral argument to the court. First of all, as far as this being a willy-nilly action, I'll note that it is in the transcript that the separate juvenile court of Douglas County made a finding that no exceptions existed to the state's duty to file a termination of parental rights action, and it made that finding in early March 2013. That is something that once 15 months has passed, unless an exception is found that's contained within the statute, that's something the children need to move to permanency. And at this point, when the action was filed, we were well past the 15 months, so it was not something just brought willy-nilly. And it was also brought under a number of subsections, given the issues that were going on in the case.
What was the state's best, or what was the best evidence to support termination?
The best evidence to support termination was that the case had been in existence for, at that point, at the time of the trial, close to 17 months, and that there were significant, substantial issues identified at the time of adjudication and at the dispositional hearings and review hearings, and there had been no evidence that those fundamental issues had been corrected.
Wasn't there some evidence that the mother had been making some progress, though, and was participating?
There was some evidence, primarily adduced from the mother herself. We had no evidence specific. We couldn't even get specific names of what provider she was seeing, what their credentials for, what she was trying to do. And I would also note to the court, much of that progress occurred in the early part of 2013 when we're already well past a year that the case is open. And the case law in Nebraska has made references to token efforts. I'll leave it to the court to determine if that's the case here. But a lot of the efforts that were made, the positive progress, happened very close to the time that the actual termination proceeding was filed and tried. I don't think it's really disputed by the parties that a number of serious mental health diagnoses were made. Also, substance abuse diagnoses were made. The underlying facts for the adjudication included some very serious issues with improper child care, children being left unsupervised. One child was hit by a car. There are issues with domestic violence going on. And very quickly, the state put in a lot of resources and got her involved with Williams Perry Place. And while a lot of Dr. Stankus' testimony does go to the Sub 5 allegation, it's key to show that he agreed that Williams Repair Place would be the ideal type of program for the mother. It's something that would give her the wraparound services, give her the holistic, comprehensive treatment. And in the mother's own testimony and cross-examination, she acknowledged that things went downhill after she left that program. I don't think the reasonableness of the plan that was submitted was really in question, and it was certainly never appealed on any of the dispositional hearings. She left that program very shortly thereafter, had a positive test for cocaine. That's in the record. It's also reported in the report from Boys Town, the family support worker started having trouble getting a hold of her. She wouldn't tell the worker where she was residing, where she was staying. The back half of 2012, basically, it went downhill, fell apart for her. And as of the evidence that was at the review hearing in January of 2013, things were still going poorly. Now, I acknowledge that there's some evidence, primarily from the mother and a little bit from the caseworker, that in February and then mainly in March of 2013, some work started to be done. I would certainly acknowledge she finally obtained some stable housing. It looked like visitation was maybe going a little bit better, but we really had no evidence as to whether these fundamental issues with the substance abuse and mental health had been addressed. I would note in the appellant's brief, he mentions how in the facts section about Dr. Stankus didn't know the mother had completed a drug program. There's no evidence she successfully completed a course of drug treatment. That's just not the record. There's evidence she's participated in some, but never that a provider said she's done, she's good to go. Now, with that, and we don't know really as far as, if a provider could say, and no provider said that the underlying issues of substance abuse had really been addressed. This court, back in 1998, even noted that failure to change a lifestyle chemical dependency may constitute neglect under 292.2. I would also, another point
counsel,
I want to...
Counsel, I hear you saying that there wasn't evidence that she had completed a program, but again, it's the state's burden here, and it's my understanding that your evidence from Dr. Stankus was somewhat old in terms of his opinion. So what evidence did you present that was timely at the time of the termination hearing to show that the mother had not taken steps that she needed to rehabilitate herself? I think you admit there have been some things she's done. So, you know, these are tough cases where a parent has made some efforts but maybe hasn't done everything the department has asked. Is it too soon here?
I would say it's not, Your Honor. Obviously, as the court knows, children deserve permanency. And the cases that the appellant relies on to argue that there was an improvement, and one in particular he relies on is In Re Justin H. This court looked at this about 3 years ago, and he compares to that this court should look at that case. Well, okay, let's look at that case and contrast to this one, because in that case the court did overturn a termination and said, no, the parent had been making progress. In that case, the court noted the parent had complied with every court order. She consistently attended visitation with her children, and she exhibited appropriate parenting techniques during the visitation. Now, while the mother was doing fine at the time of the termination in terms of attending visitation, they still had not even moved beyond fully supervised. There were still issues. There were still redirects. The parenting reports and family support reports that talk about the visitation, the court reports, even towards the last court report of January 2013, there were still issues of visitation. Even the mother acknowledged having issues of visitation, ending visits early, wanting visits to be over, having issues controlling the children's behaviors, having issues. It took a while to even get to where she could have all three children at once. The visits kept having to be broken up. So I don't think you've seen that continuous progress. I would certainly concede it would be one thing if the mother had been consistently attending treatment, working it, doing her visitation, doing the best she can. You know, it just the treatment was taking time, maybe be too early, but the mother herself acknowledged on discontinuing treatment, refusing to go, you know, when the worker would suggest one place to go to, Creighton, she's like, no, I want to do manual, not staying in timely contact with the worker about what she's doing where, because that is one of the, even though we have to provide the evidence, as part of a plan of rehabilitation, one of the things the court looks at and orders, and one of the things that's part of the services is their reasonable efforts. The parent has to cooperate, stay in communication with the worker, provide information. And that really wasn't happening. There were some efforts finally made towards February or March of 2013, but they really didn't address the underlying chemical dependency, substance abuse, and the mental health issues, and did not show that really substantial progress had been made at all. They showed that things were going great up until she decided to quit Women's Prepared Place, but nothing since then.
Mr. Malik, what's your response to Mr. Hoffman's comment about the caseworker early on? I mean, she only started half a year or less before this went to hearing, but her initial recommendation was reunification by May of 2013, but then, you know, March of 2013, she's testifying basically because there's been too much time.
I would argue that, respectfully, my esteemed opposing counsel mischaracterizes the record. I believe the worker came on October of 2012. Her court report that was put into evidence in January of 2013 actually recommended a plan of reunification with a concurrent plan of adoption, and that's what was in that court report. And as this court likely knows, there's no way the court could have adopted a plan of adoption as a permanency objective because it would have disqualified itself from hearing the TPR because it would have effectively already ruled that her right should be terminated. So that's standard course. You can't have a recommendation other than reunification unless you're at a stage where we're looking at some type of termination. You can't go to adoption without having that termination proceeding first. So I don't think she suddenly changed her mind. And I don't think her sole argument was that, oh, too much time, because I agree there certainly have been cases before this court where that's really been all we'd like to stand on. The issue is we were 15 months plus out of the case. We had no evidence on where we were really going with the substance abuse treatment, the mental health treatment. We were still at supervised visitation. You know, she just made some efforts to get housing. We didn't know, besides the Social Security income, about how she's going to provide for the kids. It was not like we were ready to transition to unsupervised or semi-supervised, ready to move the kids home and suddenly, oh, state just saw 15 months and filed it. No, this was something that, unfortunately, we came to a point where when you say enough is enough and these kids need to get to a permanent place, how much time can you give? And I don't think enough time, enough efforts have been made by the mother to show that, yes, more, even more time was deserved.
What evidence is there in the record besides the mother's testimony, which was favorable as to the relationship with the children? What evidence was there that it was not a good relationship?
There was evidence in the form of from the court report and the Boys Town report showing that there were still ongoing issues with her being able to interact and handle the children's behaviors and handle the children of visitation, that there were a lot of stressful and difficult events occurring at the visitation. So that would be my argument as to the beneficial relationship. And, Your Honors, I see I'm over time. May I have a brief moment to offer my prayer for relief?
I'm sure we understand what that is from your brief, and so we'll conclude the arguments today. Counsel, appellant's out of time, correct? Or maybe not. 30 seconds. You have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
I just want to, as far as the mental health diagnosis that the county attorney had mentioned, you will note that the judge did strike subsection 5, so any reference to mental health was the trial court judge found that they didn't meet their burden.
That goes to the grounds for termination, but can it still be considered for best interest?
Best interest, correct. However, they didn't call a therapist. I liken the case. I know they say there was ongoing issues, but they used the caseworker as a recent caseworker on the case as a proxy to get all that in. And again, you mentioned the part about supervised visitation, but in Race Guy W that you guys had ruled on, there was the case never progressed to unsupervised visitation. And I just, again, would ask you to read or to look over NRA in the interest of Aaron D and see how similar it is to this case and how they went about severing my client's parental rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. You are excused. The case is submitted and we are now in recess.